Well, it's kind of interesting that the lights may have gone out around your house and the neighborhood since the Christmas season is over. The Three Kings are now headed off to other places or whatever happens to be the festival that you've been celebrating. And the lights, however, are burning bright in Las Vegas and soon will be burning bright in our state of Michigan here in Detroit with the big auto show coming. But Mr. Rick Broida is in studio here to bring us an exclusive report on your time at the Consumer Electronics Show. Still really big show, huh?
Yes. Back from the land of geek and money. It was it was a good show. There was a lot of cool stuff on display.
All right. Now, as you went there, how do you map out an attack on something? How many acres is it that it's...
Oh, it's the size of a small town, really. It's it's divided over two locations. One is in the Venetian, and the other is in the actual convention center, the Las Vegas Convention Center. And so I basically split my time one day at one place and one day at the next, and really just scratched the surface. There was so much that I didn't see that I had to read about later, like everybody
else. It's
like
being let loose in the candy store, isn't it?
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Where did you start?
So I started at the Venetian, which is funny. The Venetian / Sands. We were joking about it, my buddy Dave and I, that this used to be the place where it was like the overflow. It was where all the kind of crummy stuff went to die. You know, nobody. You know, it was just like okay, we'll spend a little while walking around the Sands. And
another
looking at all the
iPhone
junk.
Holder.
Yeah, exactly. All the cheap stuff. But you know, it's funny how it's almost changed a little bit now. All the hot stuff is in the Venetian. And so we saw a lot of cool gadgets there, a lot of smart home stuff. You know, just there was lots of good stuff to see. I could have used another couple of days easily.
Okay. So what did you first dive into? Let's pick some categories to take a look at. How about I've heard of virtual reality is big.
Yes, virtual reality is definitely ramping up. You've probably heard of Oculus Rift.
Yes.
Right. And
that's $600 though.
They just announced the price on that. But see, so wow. That is $600, and certainly there is going to be a higher end segment of virtual reality. But what we're also seeing is a lot of activity in smartphone powered VR. And as we were just talking about a little earlier, you know, Google Cardboard is this product that came out a couple years, it's almost 2 years old now,
right.
That Google kind of unleashed on the world unsuspectingly. And it's just a cardboard viewer that you slide your phone into it, and it has a couple of lenses. And when paired with the proper apps, it creates a pretty convincing, effective virtual reality experience.
Well, like the one that you brought in, you know, it's a cardboard box with the phone and the...
Right,
the,
and you literally slip your iPhone in, or whatever phone you happen to have, I guess.
iPhone or Android, sure.
Yeah, that box now has a 2-year service agreement on it.
Yeah. It's literally made of cardboard and a couple of plastic lenses.
And it's really cheap.
Very, very cheap. So, the Samsung Gear VR, for example, is a new product that's out. That's a $99 headset. Only works with Samsung phones for the moment, but it has some Oculus underpinnings to it as well. And so for $99, you can buy a headset, as long as you have the compatible phone, that is also going to deliver a pretty amazing VR experience to you.
Well, we were just looking through what you brought, and it was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Going up the roller coaster at Cedar Point and coming down, and you really felt you were there. In fact, I now realize that I don't have to go to Cedar Point and ride the roller coaster to get sick. I can I can do that right in the privacy of my own home.
You tease about
maybe bathroom, but
you tease about it. But I got a little queasy as I was.
It's
kind of a little sense of motion sickness. Go ahead.
Well, if I can ask a question about the Consumer Electronics Show, please.
Please.
I'm a big fan of the Nest products, and I have guys who are big fans of the Hue products as well for lighting and stuff like that. What's going on in home automation?
Yeah, there was a ton of smart home stuff on display at the show, and as there has been every year for the last couple of years, it's really a growing category. I didn't see a ton of it myself, just because I was kind of looking for anything that would fly or work in 3D or that would hover, but... There's a lot of movement happening there. I did go by iHome's booth, and they're getting into a lot of... And so the smart home stuff is really what you're going to see a lot of is app-controlled switches, electrical outlets, light switches, things that you can adapt to existing appliances. You probably heard about the Samsung refrigerator that has all manner of smart features to it.
Huge screen on it, too, doesn't it?
A big screen on it, and some interesting stuff, like on the inside. It will literally take a photo of what's inside your fridge. So if you're at the store and you want to know, oh, do I have milk? Do I have this? Whatever, you can look at the inside of your refrigerator know what's in there.
Oh, great.
This you think about it, it's a smart idea. It makes a ton of sense.
Really, unless you want everybody everybody to see your molded cheese.
I was gonna say, well, you don't share it. It's not a social
it's
media.
For you.
You can set up. You can find out who's stealing what in the refrigerator. You
that's
can set,
right.
We're
sneaking snacks in the middle of the night.
Oh my gosh, yes.
No, well, that's a front-facing camera. This is only an inside-facing camera.
I recognize that hand.
Some of the technology, you know, it's motion detected. So if somebody's in your home and you're away, it'll pop up on your smartphone and you can say, hey, and they turn toward the sound and you take their picture, right? It's automatic.
Yeah, as long
you
as they send go by that the refrigerator,
to
the
Yeah, you send them. That off to the police department. It's amazing what you can do today.
Yeah, those things.
And you can just say, we just took your picture. We send it to the police department. If you leave now, don't take anything. You know, otherwise, they're going to be after you and we have your picture.
Right.
By the way, we just took, the outside camera just took a picture of your car and your license plate number, too. Mm. So.
Oh, and you better call your doctor because you might want to get an x-ray for that.
Yeah, that's right.
I notice you have a mole on your neck.
Rick, did you see anything in terms of like wearables? Were supposed to be big last year. They were to a certain extent. And I think as we look into this coming year, wearables again, at least the development of them looks big. Were there things that caught your eye there?
Certainly fitness bands were... Stop it, Cal. Cal's looking at my wrist. the fitness band segment is continuing to expand exponentially. Not a lot of smartwatches on display, really a lot of fitness bands, at least not at this show. And Fitbit announced their new product, which I'm hoping someone is going to help me remember the name of.
Oh, not the Blaze. The Blaze?
Blaze, thank
Blaze.
You.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, the new Fitbit Blaze, which looks more like a smartwatch, actually, than it does a fitness
Gorgeous.
Band.
Gorgeous.
Nice looking product. So, yeah, there's a lot of action there.
I bought my wife a Fitbit Flex, the little one, the bottom
one.
Right. That's all she wanted to do was something that counted her
steps. This surprises me because I continue to have less interest in the fitness aspects of wearables than I do the notification aspects, but the market is certainly pushing, obviously, in the other direction.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. So we went from wearing earbuds and stuff like that and to headbands or earmuffs and stuff, and now we're on our wrist. What other body parts are we going to link with our phones? I'm just wondering.
What did you have in mind?
I'm just wondering. What did you see anything out there that
this
you know,
is a family
like,
phone? This is family program.
You know, well, you know, we have the straps for joggers, right. And they have they can put their iPhones on their
arms,
on their biceps
right.
and jog. Okay,
yeah.
So any other unusual socks?
So I well, there is a sock out there.
Oh, you
and
know,
it's called Owlet.
Well, I know
and
there's
the
ones.
Owlet.
You can,
Owlet is for babies.
A smart sock?
Yeah, smart sock. Oh. For babies. And it's
and
a monitoring device.
I know there's a jogger one you could put in your shoes.
Well, actually, I saw a pair of shoes that is designed, I think, for runners. And when you think about it, it's laughable to say out loud, but a smart shoe makes sense because if you wear something on your wrist and it's supposedly tracking your steps, it's going to do a mediocre job at best.
Right,
it's just
right.
because what if I gesture with my hand? Did I just count a step? No.
Yeah.
If you have sensors in your footwear that will very accurately count your steps.
That's true.
Now you're
and your stride. Your stride.
Plus, which you can adjust the heat. So if you have cold feet, you can just tap your phone and crank up the heat in your... And this is something I want, I have to tell you. I would love to have heated, smart... phone-controlled shoes. This sounds great.
Or cool when you're running.
Or cool ones.
Yeah. I can't wait to get out to the airport. You'd see people plugging their phones into the USB ports. They'll be plugging their shoes.
That's right. Just stand here, sir, and we will recharge
your
feet.
We have to have an eye deodorizer or something like that. It goes with as well. Rick Breuter, by the way, is our guest here. He's our gadget guy and also the Cheapskate, and we're talking today about his experience at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. How about drones? Anything in particular?
Oh, my gosh. Drones everywhere. And I want to circle back to VR before I forget about it, for one other thing. But drones were everywhere, and I was discussing with my buddy Dave how rapidly we have seen, from drones existing to drones progressing in terms of design and features and capabilities in just a year or two. It has exploded, and I saw some really cool-looking drones, folding arms. I mean, just so cool.
And Chinese passenger drone.
Yes, that is the one. I asked him if he had seen it, see that, but apparently there's a single passenger drone that can actually go like about 60 miles an hour, and it's the Jetsons car. It's
coming.
There. Back in just a second, it's talk about some of the silliest and some of the coolest things that our friend Rick Breuter saw at CES. I guess we could call it an adult toy show. No, wait, that's dangerous.
Where
no,
do you
no.
put the hyphen?
This is a toy show for adults.
You can't do that with the word Las Vegas.
No,
it's just
no,
not
no,
right.
Oh, no, it doesn't work. No. Welcome. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor.
He gives me a whole new look on Broider.
That was a landmine I stepped on. And my goodness, Rick Broider's with us. He's our gadget guy, just back from the Consumer Electronics Show. I was just thinking of all the toys that are there, and for an adult, and it's NerdCon. That was another one of the things you called it.
you got to remember, Foster, those aren't toys, those are tools. You know what?
Yes.
You do know the difference between the two. Toys, you can't tax deduct.
And you also can't talk your wife into letting you get them. If it's something, it's a tool, you need this tool.
Shauna?
My wife's here. I'm looking to see if I have approval.
Wait a minute. You have a kid at home, right?
Two.
Well, all you have to do is say, are you buying this now? They'll grow into it.
It's a learning thing. It will help them in school.
Yes, an inspirational device.
Rick, when you were there, I understand that 3D printers were a pretty big thing there this year.
Lots and lots of 3D printers, as last time. It's a segment that continues to grow. And so what we're seeing is there are more consumer-friendly models that are designed. I saw one in particular that is called the... M3D, micro 3D printer, and it looks kind of, it's all glossy and different colors and just very compact, not much larger than like a toaster oven, and it starts at like $350, and so really more of a consumer appliance, but very quiet and cranks out some very nice looking prints, I guess if you want to call them that.
Sure.
So I'm excited because I really think we're overdue for 3D printers to become more of a household fixture. And
this is another step in that
direction.
I think
they're getting there. It's just taking time.
We talked about virtual reality a little bit beforehand, but you had a particularly cool thing that happened.
Yeah, I did. So we talked about the kind of the low end of it a little bit with Google Cardboard and sort of the smartphone powered VR. But I had the opportunity to see something that really, really blew my mind. It was through 20th Century Fox. And it was you remember the movie The Martian?
Yeah.
So this was a VR experience where you actually got to sit in the cockpit of like the Mars rover that the character drove around and drive around on the surface of Mars. And what made this remarkable is that there were four components to it. I was sitting in a motion-activated chair. So anytime the rover went over a bump, I felt it.
Oh.
Or I turned and the chair pivoted or moved as I was moving. I had the VR glasses, which were tethered to a PC. I had headphones over my ears, and I had two controllers that I was holding in my hands,
like joysticks,
kind of free-floating, that when I looked down, I saw hands. So I could reach out and touch that, and it looked like my virtual hands were reaching out to flip a switch or control a virtual joystick. And the illusion was so complete and so all-encompassing, it really rocked my world. It was that good.
Can you see this in movie theaters?
No, at home.
I know, you're right.
Why go out? So if this is the future of VR, and what was really amazing about it is that there was no lag. So you turned your head, and it was just there.
No lag.
So there was no... I get nauseated VR. This, I did not feel sick at all.
Who produced this?
So this was a combination of different products. This was not the Oculus headset. It was something different. I think it was an HTC.
Okay.
And then the content was coming from Valve by way of the Steam client,
Steam
the PC. So there was a bunch of different things at work here, and I don't know what this is going to cost. But the
combination of all of those to create this whole experience.
Yeah. So it was a great glimpse at what we're going to be looking at in a couple years down the road. It was remarkable.
Hoverboards.
Yeah, favorite topic of mine right now because they were huge, leading up to Christmas.
And of course, you have one.
Notorious for catching fire. I do have one if it would stop raining or being 20 degrees, I would go ride it. I did not see a ton of hoverboards on the show floor. I certainly saw some in booths. I didn't see people zipping around on them as much as I thought I might.
Uh-huh.
They were probably not allowed.
In booths?
In booths.
Oh, in booths. Pardon me.
Yeah. And so they definitely was a presence at the show, but I expected to see more of it and did not. And I don't know if that's because of all the issues right now with batteries catching fire.
My understanding is that was primarily in some of the knockoffs. Some of the cheaper knockoffs, not in the better.
Definitely, but there's still issues to be worked out. So I love the products.
I even heard there was a raid that took place.
Yes,
there was. CES. One of the Chinese companies that had been building a blatant knockoff of an American brand, a one wheel.
That's exactly what it's called, the one wheel.
Yeah.
And so this is more of a, not the hoverboard that you've seen with the two wheels and the little scooter or whatever, more of a skateboard with a big wheel in the center.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so this company had made a knockoff and literally had U.S. Marshals come in and seize it because it wasn't, you know, it was not authorized. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
You know, they destroyed them, right? They destroyed all the
I don't know what the outcome was, but they had to stop exhibiting.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do right now is to watch YouTube and all the hoverboard fails and crashes. Oh, those are funny. Like the ones that go in the backyard and the board goes into the pool as they fall backwards. Oh, hilarious.
Oh, awesome.
It's like a new form.
It's like anything else. You must be careful and learn what you're doing before you hop on this thing, or you will fall and hurt yourself.
Now, some of the other things I understand, there was a speaker that levitated?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is not new. I've seen a few products in the last few months with levitating speakers, but this particular one just caught my interest because it looks the base, which is also the subwoofer, is like this monolith. And then at the top is this floating disc that, if you remember Lost in Space, just looks just like the Jupiter 2. It looks like a flying saucer, complete with LED lights around the edge that go around in a circle, and it just rises up and floats there in midair, and you can tap it and spin it, and it just made all my geek bells go at once. It was so cool. I loved it.
Did the sound come out of that part that was
came
floating?
Out of the comes out of the bass and comes out of the floating part too.
The floating part
is actually a speaker. And Shauna will kill me if I bring another Bluetooth speaker into the house. But man, oh man, this thing is
she's nodding
really cool.
Now there's another thing you saw there. It's something called the Chronos, which it sounded kind of a fascinating thing because it goes with existing watches.
Yes, and this kind of speaks to what I was saying before about what I want from a smartwatch. If you have a watch that you already own and love, maybe it was, you know, something that was given to you, or you just don't want a smartwatch. This is a way to retrofit any existing watch as a smartwatch. So the Chronos is a little, about the size of a quarter, a little disc that sticks to the underside of your existing watch.
Oh.
And it still pairs with your phone, but so now when you get a text message or a phone call or any sort of other event is triggered on your phone, the little disc will vibrate. So you can feel it on your wrist.
Oh, okay.
And it has LEDs that will light up in any given color to help you recognize what it is. It can track your steps. It has a couple other features as well. So it's a really neat way to have kind of the smartwatch experience without ditching your existing watch.
And without having to pay for.
Right. And definitely of greater appeal to women, because I think as a general rule, women don't like the look of and size of smartwatches. So this is a great way to be able to have kind of like a nice looking lady's watch that you can also have those smart features.
Earrings. Smart earrings. There we go.
I like the way it is always thinking about new things to smarten.
How about, to finish this thing up, the silliest thing you saw?
Silliest, but also kind of favorite, was this thing called the Ripple Maker. And the Ripple Maker is a machine that you will start seeing in coffee shops. It can produce like a layer of foam, like you'd see on the top of a latte. And on top of that white layer of foam, any design you want. Typically a barista might make a heart or something, some sort of design. This thing prints onto a cup of coffee. It could be a company logo. It could be a message. It could be a picture. Just about anything.
In the foam.
Yeah, right in Mona the foam. Lisa. So you get your coffee and it has this little cool thing on it.
And how much do we need to tip them for that?
Well, you tip the machine. You just give it right to the machine.
Fascinating. So does it fit over the cup?
So it's actually about the size of a Keurig coffee maker.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but it has a little control panel at the top, and you kind of, the barista taps in whatever the logo is going to be, and it just flip lands on your coffee. It's really cool. It's pointless.
It takes away all the art from the barista.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
It does, but it also expands the capability. So just picture this in like a a company event or something like that, everybody gets the company logo in their coffee. Great, a really cool novelty.
So it does come in different flavors.
Not different flavors, but different just different designs, design you want.
So you could have chocolate and caramel. I mean, wouldn't that be great?
They already have that, Ed.
Okay. You're right.
I'm thinking nothing would be neater than have a skull and crossbones sitting on top of that coffee. That'd be great.
So keep Rick, other people from drinking your coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you
Rick's coffee?
Very quickly, what do you think the prognosis is for CES? People are kind of saying it's run as not.
No, as popular as ever, as crowded as ever is.
Wow.
I love the fact that we're actually seeing these product categories. For the last couple of years, the big complaint was, I didn't see anything new. I didn't see anything cool. Now we've got VR. We've got 3D printers. We've got hoverboards. We've got drones. These are all new product categories, exciting.
One thing we didn't talk about were laptops and tablets and computers.
Oh, boring. Boring.
That used to be what it was all about, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then about phones, and it's not about them anymore.
No,
now it's about all these other things.
Wearables, smart home.
Are TVs all played through, too?
Not a lot of action in TVs, except I did see some 4K TVs. I think we're inching towards 4K. Beautiful. They're beautiful. But do I need it? Does it? Yeah. Is it going to make, I'm trying to think of a show I'm watching right now. Is it going to make
Sesame Street,
Fargo look any better or more enjoyable? No, it's Sesame Street.
What about as far as size? Is it big? Anything bigger than 90 inches now?
I think there was 120 inch TV on display.
There you go, Cal. That's the one you want for your.
I'll need a bigger house for that.
That's our gadget guy, Mr. Rick Broida, with his exclusive report on CES. Rick, thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you.